Yes, we are still here, ladies and gentlemen. The Right Take is still on the internet. For now, we have not yet been deplatformed, unpersoned, banned, censored, canceled, disappeared. We are still here to deliver to you episode number 3. I'm Eric Lendrum.
I'm Jacob Grandstaff.
And, well, once again, it was a very eventful period of time the last few days prior to the recording of this episode. So, as we hinted at in our opening, one of the big themes of this episode, of course, something we have to talk about, the elephant in the room for the last week at least, is in direct response to the peaceful protest at the United States Capitol. That's what we're calling it, because, you know, the media spent the whole summer last year referring to riots as peaceful protests, so it's only fair we give them the same treatment. It is gone. At Real Donald Trump, President Trump's Twitter account, which he has had since 2009, I believe, and literally had the exact same profile picture. We all know the one I'm talking about, the close-up, the extreme close-up. He's just got that look in his eyes. He's that same profile picture for 11 years. He had that account, and it had 88.7 million followers at the moment of its suspension, which made it the sixth most followed Twitter account in the world. Such legendary tweets, absolutely legendary tweets, like happy Thanksgiving even to the haters and losers. You know, the Coke company is not happy with me, but that's okay, I'll still be drinking that garbage. It's the classic. You really want to find the best of Trump's Twitter? Go back to before he was president, man. Go back to like 2013, and when he was just Donald Trump and just interacting with people on Twitter, because people hated him too back then, even before he was president. But, and he just didn't care. He did not have any filter before he was president. And some of those tweets were absolutely legendary. A lot of them are archived, thankfully, so we will always have that to remember. But yes, in a very serious note, of course, they banned the president of the United States. And many conservative right-wing personalities on Twitter, including other accounts associated with the president, they banned the official Trump team. That's the official Trump campaign Twitter account. The president then used his more quote-unquote official Twitter account, at POTUS, to tweet about the situation, and that account got banned. I just don't know what to say to that. I mean, I did predict that they would ban him from Twitter permanently, but I predicted that that would happen at approximately 12:01 p.m. on January 20th, like the moment he leaves office. I did not imagine that they would have the audacity, the absolute gall, to do this while he is still in office. That should terrify you. It really should terrify you that big tech, and not just Twitter, of course, plenty of other tech platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, they've all banned and or censored him at a certain point, with Twitter being the most egregious because that was literally his platform. But that certainly has very, very devastating implications for the future of discourse in our country.
Well, it didn't surprise me that they banned him. In fact, I fully expected it after the Capitol Hill riot, or the peaceful protest, if you want to call it that. Because we're seeing a trend with big tech and really the political left in America in general is as soon as they feel like they've got an opening, they charge through it. And so we saw this, for instance, after the riot at Charlottesville in 2017. As soon as that happened, then all of a sudden – you have big tech companies, you have the Democratic Party, they're wanting to start pushing policies, that they're emboldened to push policies, because at the moment Americans are outraged at right wingers. So they feel like they have an opening to, they're going to try to shoot the gap as fast as they can. And then we saw it again after the death of George Floyd. Most Americans at the time, because they didn't release the body cam footage, most Americans genuinely believed that this police officer, Derek Chauvin, kneeled on George Floyd's neck and murdered him on camera. So at the time, America was outraged, and so a lot of Americans were really starting to question, hey, maybe our police system really is, you know, racist against black people. And this gave the Democratic Party an opening to say, yeah, this is what we've been saying all along. This gave left-wing activists an opening, and so they started pushing for all kind of stuff that had nothing to do with policing, like, you know, renaming military bases who were named after Confederate generals, something that had absolutely nothing to do with Derek Chauvin and George Floyd, nothing to do with policing in America. So I fully expected Twitter to – you know, Twitter was going to ban President Trump after – he left office. That was guaranteed. There was no question they were going to let him keep his account and criticize Joe Biden while he was president. But after this, at this point, I think Twitter expected there to be enough momentum to push Trump out of office before January 20th. But that's why they did it. They were fully expecting him to be impeached and removed from office, or to resign or something like that. So this did not surprise me.
Yeah. And like you said, that's a very good point you made, that the left can never help themselves. You give them an inch and they demand 3,000 miles. You know, we gave them the inch of legalizing gay marriage, And within a few years, they turned that into trans kids and drag queen story hours. And it's the same thing here. Like you said also with Black Lives Matter. They have banned him from Twitter, and they are now using that as an excuse to – you've seen the multiple trending hashtags. Among them were hashtag no fly list, advocating for Trump supporters to not be allowed on airlines, hashtag remove them all, literally advocating for just all Trump supporters to be banned from Twitter completely, just turn into a left-wing echo chamber. And they even went – they went after Parler. So Parler is one of the big Twitter – it was the Twitter alternative, right? Or technically the second Twitter alternative. The first was Gab, and Gab – we're on Gab as well at The Right Take. And that one is actually – I think it's a better website. It's better designed. It looks and feels very much like a Twitter and Facebook combo. You have – there is an edit button on posts, so definitely superior to Twitter in that sense. But it's just better usability. Parler had its issues, but it was really being promoted by the Trump campaign and the MAGA crowd. And so a lot of people – like Dan Bongino is one of the co-owners of it. And it was doing well, but then they – sure enough, Apple and Google deleted the app from their app stores. I expected that to happen. I literally downloaded the Parler app, even though I do not have a personal Parler account. I downloaded the app knowing they were going to delete it eventually. I did that several months ago. So the app is gone. And then they went nuclear. And Amazon declared, all right, by the way, you are operating on our servers. So we're going to shut off your servers on January 11th, at midnight January 11th, so not even 24 hours ago. And previously, they like completely deleting them from their servers, from the web hosters, from the provider that allows them to stay online. They previously have reserved this tactic only for legitimate neo-Nazi sites like the Daily Stormer. You know, they were removed from some from Google servers and whatnot. But they went ahead and did this to a, I guess if you want to call it, a mainstream alternative social media site. So Parler is down right now. It is down. The CEO, John Mates, has said they have no immediate timetable for when they will be back on. But at the end of the day, like, you look at this. They've completely removed their ability to operate, certainly their ability to make money. And going back to what you said about taking it too far, I think at this point, they're not stupid, Dorsey and a lot of them. They're not dumb. They know what they're doing, and they know there is going to be backlash. There's undoubtedly, like, there's a reason Parler was the number one app. You know, there's a reason Parler and Gab saw like 400, 700% increases in traffic in the 24 hours after Trump was banned. They know there's going to be backlash. But at the end of the day, they are torn between, okay, do we do this and face the backlash, the inevitable backlash from driving our opposition underground and silencing them? Or do we not go that far? We let them have their platform for organizing and whatnot and risk them coming back and risk another Trump getting elected, whether it's Josh Hawley or whoever, and risk a more nationalist, populist, Trump-style Republican Party taking over and having power. Can you imagine for just a minute if President Trump, in those first 2 years, the Republican Party was actually like in line with Trump and nationalist and populist? Like they actually voted for building the wall and repealing Section 230 and got all that done. And just even if it was just his first 2 years, that would have irrevocably done so much damage to the Democrats' long-term plans for this country. And they know that. So I think that between the two scenarios of possibly losing everything and losing that long-term battle with the rise of another Trump and a more nationalist Republican Party versus the immediate backlash now of censoring them so that that movement, that kind of victory is less likely to happen, they'll go for the backlash and they'll think, oh, okay, we'll deal with the backlash when it comes, but for now we just gotta drive these people underground. Because at the end of the day, yeah, absolutely, banning Trump, banning Parler, that's not gonna make the situation better. It's gonna get a lot uglier before it gets better.
What's interesting is after the riot, Trump's approval rating actually rose. Trump's approval numbers rose after the riot. According to Rasmussen, his approval went from, I believe it was 46% to 48%. So, I mean, the idea that Trump is all his support's going to crater, that Trump supporters are going to flee Trump support in droves because of the riot. In order for that to happen, people would have to assign blame to President Trump for the riot.
They miscalculated, too, with regards to his approval ratings. Like you said, his approval rating has actually gone up now, and you said it was, what, 48% now? And what they were expecting, the play they were going for, they were hoping that his numbers would plummet to, like, George W. Bush, Richard Nixon, Herbert Hoover levels of, like, right, 28%, 25%. Because then when you got a guy who has only support of about a quarter of the country, oh, yeah, you can totally impeach that guy a second time. You can totally remove him with the 25th Amendment. You cannot just remove someone who is still supported by half the country. That has been the absolute, one of the biggest mysteries about Trump to these people, is how have his approval ratings been so consistent? They have never gone too high. They've never peaked at more than like 52, 53 maybe. But they've never gone that low. The lowest they get is like low 40s, like 43 maybe, 42. Because his floor is not very low and his ceiling is not very high. He has this consistent core of support, this strong base that is not going anywhere anytime soon. Even after what happened on January 6th. Because most people know the facts of the matter that he didn't incite violence. They know the truth. They know the mainstream media is full of it. But they are still pushing forward anyway. I think at this point, not even trying to remove him or whatever, because the dropping his approval ratings didn't work. At this point, it's more because they are trying to prevent him from running again in 2024. They see those numbers and they know, yeah, this guy could run again. For sure, he'd win the nomination again in 2024. I still don't think he would win at that point because the voter fraud is just so strong, and especially for four more years of Biden, it will be even stronger. But they just don't want him to run again because they'd have to cover him again. They would be forced to cover Trump again for another 2 years if he is the Republican nominee again, and they don't want that. They want him to just go away as quickly as possible. I give them about 2 years, perhaps not coincidentally due to the midterms, but I give them 2 years at maximum of Biden and the Democrats in general just blaming everything on Trump. You know, remember, Obama spent the entirety of his first term in office just blaming Bush for everything that went wrong on his watch, the economy, the wars, everything. So guaranteed, Biden is going to copy his ideological predecessor and is going to just blame Trump and just blame, oh, the virus vaccine rollout's going bad, I'm just going to blame Trump. There's still unrest, political unrest in America, oh, I'm just going to blame Trump. He's just going to blame Trump nonstop, and it's going to work for a while. Because, again, the media will be all too happy to do that. The media would love for nothing more than to keep talking about Trump because that's what gets them their ratings. Joe Biden does not get ratings. Donald Trump does. So they're going to milk that Trump cow as long as they can because that is all they have to go on before even then their own claims and arguments start to crumble under scrutiny. But you know, Jacob, the one group of people in the world who love to talk about Trump as despite supposedly hating him even more than the mainstream media? Our buddies at the Lincoln Project.
Of course, the Lincoln Project.
So the Lincoln Project is a motley crew of cucks, I mean former Republicans, who claim that they have some kind of moral high ground, that they want to put country over party, and they say, oh, Trump is not representative of the Republican Party we knew, so we're going to leave the Republican Party and we're going to campaign against Trump. And it features such all-star individuals as George Conway. Some of you may know him as the husband of Kellyanne Conway, one of President Trump's longtime advisors. Rick Wilson is another one, a longtime Republican strategist who specializes in resembling a human thumb. Like, you ever take a look at this guy, and like, if you ever look at a picture of this dude, his head literally just looks like a thumb. And I'm sure that probably irritates the hell out of him, having to look in a mirror every morning and seeing that and seeing how he looks. And he's like 5 feet tall. He's really short. Some other wonderful members of this group, Steve Schmidt, another long-term Republican strategist who most infamously was the man behind the selection of Sarah Palin as John McCain's running mate in 2008. He lobbied very hard for her to be picked, and almost immediately after she was picked, he suddenly regretted it and was like, oh, I renounce this. She's a radical. She's a nut job. She's a terrible choice. And since then has spent years just denouncing Sarah Palin. We all know it was a pretty bad choice. I mean, not like he was ever going to win. He was not going to win that election regardless.
Yeah, Obama was winning no matter what.
But we're not here to talk about the human thumb or the failure of a husband that is George Conway, or the professional backstabber that is Steve Schmidt. We are here to talk about a particular member of the Lincoln Project, a chap by the name of John Weaver. So, Jacob, how much did you expect this to happen, that it turned out that one of the founding leading members of the Lincoln Project is a gay predator?
Yeah, groomer. So this didn't surprise me at all. I mean, there's a prominent think tank in Washington, D.C. who actually had a former president who did similar stuff. I'm not going to mention the name of the think tank, but the reality is this is the world you live in Washington, D.C., especially in the so-called conservative circles. The Lincoln Project is made up of people who they are neoconservatives who wish we could go back to the Bush era of bombing the Middle East and spreading democracy using the U.S. military. Most of these people have no use for social conservatism. At the time when social conservatism was strong in America, strong in the Republican Party, they would throw a bone to people who were pro-life. You know, they would throw a bone back whenever they were in favor with the GOP. They would throw a bone to people who supported traditional marriage. They would throw a bone to Christians. But people despise Christianity. They despise everything that Christianity stands for, and really just social conservatism in general, and their personal lives bear it out. This is a personal example. I mean, why don't you explain to us what exactly this guy was caught doing?
So we are reading from an article from the National Pulse, which is Raheem Kassam's website, titled, Lincoln Project Founder Accused of, quote, grooming young men and rape, end quote. The Lincoln Project had recently pledged to, quote, construct a database of Trump officials and staff, you know, to create a blacklist, basically, for everybody who's ever been guilty of the crime of supporting President Trump. And in response to that, a conservative activist on Twitter tweeted, quote, maybe I should start talking about one of the founding members of the Lincoln Project offering jobs to young men in exchange for sex. His wife is probably interested. The member followed me on Twitter briefly, and a few young men started sending me screenshots and telling what happened to them. Grooming is really disgusting, and he was especially sloppy. What grown adults call young men, quote, my boy, end quote. I kept all the screenshots and receipts. I'm going to get the victim's permission before releasing them. It's only right. And after this, several people did come forward on Twitter, including a journalist named Scott Stedman, who tweeted, quote, one day he, John Weaver, DM'd me and said he had, quote, advice. He then proceeded to tell me how hot I looked and commented on my profile picture and my hair. He started calling me my boy. I found it deeply uncomfortable. Though we continued to DM every once in a while, the situation left me feeling quite uncomfortable. I brushed it off as one tends to do. And a handful of others, there are screenshots in this article, a handful of others who came forward. But I, you know,
This guy, he basically he would message young men. There was one, I think one guy was he was somewhere in he was at some university in Texas, but he texted him about offering him an internship, and then he got into more personal details, and then he asked him, are you physically fit? Do you play intramural sports? And the guy was like, well, that's kind of a weird question for someone who's in politics to ask me, and he kind of dawned on him that this guy is a predator. But I've heard this is actually kind of common in D.C. A lot of people who work in the political world, they will even, you know, heterosexuals, they will groom young women, offering them a job. You know, they'll promise them that they've got a job waiting on them, and they just need to just come over to their place and discuss a little more, hang out a little bit more. And it turns out there really is no job at the end of the tunnel. So one of these fellows found out that there was no, you know, even he, this is one of them that actually consensually gave in. He found out eventually that there was no job waiting at the end of this tunnel. But yeah, these are basically a bunch of grifters. Most of these people, they have far more in common with left-wing West Coasters, left-wing East Coasters than they do people who are in the middle of America. And so they saw Donald Trump as easy prey, and they decided to throw their lot in with Joe Biden. And they managed to rack up doing this grift because they had an enormous amount of overhead. This is what's interesting about the Lincoln Project is they had a lot of the money that these gullible liberals gave to them, they used on overhead. These people really made a lot of money off of Democrats. And this one particular ad that they ran, which is absolutely hilarious. I mean, it's not it's so obviously not going to win
my
anybody
favorite.
Over.
This is my favorite of their ads.
Honey. You asked me to wake you and tell you what happened in the election.
Who won?
Trump. Trump won.
But I thought you could only be president two times.
Not anymore.
Are they chanting 12 more years in the background?
I don't know. I mean,
That's
what I said. This is my favorite ad. Number one, this was released on October 26, 2020. It's operating on the assumption that he would win re-election.
Yeah.
So this showed where their minds were at that point. Number two, more than two terms of Trump? Yes, please. I will gladly take more than two terms of Trump.
This plays into the dissident right who wants Trump to send in the military and take over Congress and become God Emperor Trump.
Donald is Augustus.
Right,
exactly.
You see these memes like God Emperor Trump. Trump,
yeah.
Let's just create the dictatorship like Trumpus Augustus or something.
Rubicon
like.
Dawn.
Exactly. And this is the thing is, this thing
I love
is just hilarious to both sides, both fringes of the spectrum. But it's not intended to actually sway any voters. There's nobody that literally thinks that Trump would run for a third term if he won re-election. This is intended to get scared liberals to give them their money.
But I also, you know, I love that ad, but I will say it's so unrealistic, Jacob. That would never happen in a million years. You want to know why that is the most unrealistic ad I've ever seen? Because in what universe would a 6-year-old boy ask his mother to wake him up at like midnight to tell him the results of the election?
Right.
Like a 6-year-old kid is thinking about watching cartoons the next morning. Like, and what?
She said, you asked me to wake you up and let you know who won the election. When I was 6, I don't even know who was president when I was 6 years old. I didn't care. I didn't know what a president was. Okay, so moving on to a more somber note. One of the Capitol police officers has recently committed suicide. He was stationed at the Capitol while the riot was going on. His name is Howard Liebengood on Saturday. So on Saturday, he took his life. And this is obviously an extremely unfortunate situation, very sad situation. And also the officer who passed away, Officer Brian Sicknick, we know, of course, died following the riots. And the news of his death had broken just before we did our last episode. I purposely didn't bring it up because the alleged story at the time was that he was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher by one of the Trump supporters. But I couldn't find video of it. And the thing is, every second of that encounter of the storming of the Capitol was filmed from multiple angles. So if someone was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher at any point during that time, there's really no way.
We would have seen it.
There's no way that could. And it might still be out there. If it did happen, I'm sure it's in one of the videos. People just haven't found it and clipped it out. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, you got thousands of people all scrambling at the same time. So it can be kind of hard, kind of difficult to see. But yeah, so until there's a video evidence of Officer Sicknick being killed by being hit over the head by a Trump supporter, I'm going to have to say the jury's out on this. And the reason why is because we do have ABC News. According to ABC News, it could have been a medical condition, because this is one thing. They're really the only ones that I've seen that have been reported on this. It says, according to sources familiar with the matter, authorities believe Sicknick's death was driven by a medical condition. They're also investigating reports that he was attacked with a fire extinguisher or another item at the Capitol, sources said. So far, reports of an attack haven't been confirmed, and authorities are hoping to locate video or other imagery from the scene. So, you know, this is from ABC News, ABC News Radio. The jury really is out on how Officer Sicknick died.
But even then, the way they talk about this, the fatalities that surrounded what happened on Wednesday, the only one that was directly related to everything, the only murder that took place that day, as far as we know, was the Trump supporter, the Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt, who
Correct.
Was murdered by a Metro PD officer. The other three that we know of, they all died of medical conditions, the three other people in the crowd, like heart attacks, asthma attacks, something along those lines. And this is exactly, it's been said that this is comparable to when they just absolutely gaslit the entire world over what the president said over Charlottesville. Remember, Charlottesville happened. And at the same time, not only in regards to his response, but the body count. At Charlottesville, you remember, there was the one woman who died of a heart attack there at Charlottesville. And then there were two police officers who died in a helicopter crash near the rally. They were in the air doing aerial surveillance on the events of the rally, but they had like a horrible mechanical failure or something, and it just crashed and they died. Nothing to do with the rally whatsoever. But so many headlines and so many articles said, oh, white supremacist rally kills three in Charlottesville, even though those two had nothing to do with the rally. It's the same thing here. They say five people died after Trump supporters stormed, as if Trump supporters murdered five people in the halls of Congress,
Correct,
which is not what happened here.
So
on that same note, while we're talking about gross exaggerations, let's move on from exaggerations to outright lies. And this is one. This is definitely kind of a niche thing to talk about, but I was a little hesitant to even talk about this particular issue, but oh boy, this is an issue that has, in certain circles of the internet, of social media, especially on the right, this has just blown up into, for some people, this is the breaking news over the last few weeks, that this stuff, I look at some of these things, these particular stories that we're about to talk about, and I still can't believe these are even thing. Jacob, can you take over for me? I can't even talk about this.
So both of us have expressed our beliefs on as far as the electoral fraud, whether that was fraud or not. But the problem is you've got Trump supporters, well, the conservatives in general have been so disillusioned with the news media that they've just tuned out of the news media. And so to find news of what's going on in the world, they've gone to some of the darkest corners of the internet to try to get their news from. And this has opened up an opportunity for a lot of grifters, a lot of people who just revel in attention, a lot of people who have mental health issues and see this as a golden opportunity to present themselves as some sort of guru, some sort of genius with inside information. And this is a real problem. This is something that has been going on for a long time. It's something that the right has continued to ignore. But I was sent this was after President Trump gave his address letting people know that, you know, January 6th, reminding people that January 6th was the last chance to legally try to overturn the results of the election. He, you know, he said we failed and we're going to have a new administration takeover on January 20th. So I get this message and it's a screenshot of something, something on Twitter. It says, good morning, everyone. Here's some updated info. This is from January 7th, by the way, that I received this. It says, good morning, everyone. Here's some updated info for you in regards to where this all stands. One, no, our president did not concede in his statement this morning. Two, the affidavit of the whistleblower that proves Italy and Obama were involved in the coup to overthrow our government via election fraud was delivered on Christmas Eve to the president. How do we know? Maria Maples and Tiffany Trump, who Sandy works with, sent it all to us on our WhatsApp group. They are now under protection along with Maria, whose voice is the one exposing it all on the recording going around. Here is the recording. It's 50-minute recording. I eventually looked at it. It's a phone conversation, apparently, with these people who are discussing electoral fraud. And they're talking about, you know, bringing this electoral fraud over to the House and presenting it to Jim Jordan and other House members. So explosive. Obama and Renzi, former PM of Italy, orchestrated the theft of U.S. election from President Trump. Steven Serafini coordinated with General Claudio Graziano, a board member of Leonardo. Three. These are all bullet points. So three. President Trump won't get a second term because this was the last recorded term of a president who served in the America Corporation. He dismantled the Banking Act of 1871 from England. We are going back to a republic, and Trump will be the first president of the new republic with the Constitution fully intact, which includes a start date of the new president of March 4th. This was the original start date of a new president from 1776 until it was changed in 1933 under FDR. Four. Not only was it set up yesterday via Antifa and the traitors to disrupt the day to smear us and the president when our military was brought in, they got a hold of everyone's laptops and devices while they went through the building as the traitors scurried to the tunnels. Brilliant. Many of their devices showed that they were online in real time with Chinese operatives. As far as all of the people that caved in yesterday goes, we are watching traitors expose their true characters. This needed to happen. Five, the Georgia runoff was another military sting to catch them all in the act, hence Italy. Now that they signed and certified the electoral votes last night, the crime has now been committed. It's game on. We are now in the season of treason. Everyone who has signed off has committed treason. We now have moved from conspiracy to commit treason to treason. What makes a good movie? Good actors. Today begins the meat of the movie, and 7 to 10 days, Sydney, I'm assuming Sydney Powell, comes out with her special prosecutor's report. Six, they suspended the Facebook and Twitter accounts of the president of the United States yesterday. This allows him to communicate through the emergency broadcast system, something he has set up and tested to all our cell phones October 2018. Now, I remember that. I'm sure you do, too. Seven, once you see the larger picture, it makes sense. Don't get caught up in the emotions of what you're hearing and seeing in the media. Remember, they are pushing their narrative to keep people divided and in the dark. Think logically. This is now a military operation, and the next 14 days may be rough. Trump was in Abilene, Texas last night at the DOD Command Center watching this all unfold. Pray for our country. Pray for our military and pray for President Trump and his family. God bless and enjoy your day. And you got an emoji of praying hands and the American flag. And I get this and I'm thinking,
where does the 5G come into it? I mean, oh my God, how, like, what even was that?
The thing is, the person I received this from, they're not a conspiracy theorist. They don't know anything about QAnon. They don't know anything about these wacky conspiracy theories. This is just something that they were sent, that someone had messaged them. It apparently had been passing through the grapevine, and they just sent it my way asking me what I thought about it. And I messaged back, and I told them, it looks like somebody's trying to get Trump supporters killed. Because if Trump supporters believe this stuff, and you apparently there are literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Trump supporters who actually believe all this crap. If they believe this stuff and they literally believe that Trump is about to initiate a military coup and he's going to send out information to all of our cell phones, and so that him being kicked off Facebook and Twitter doesn't matter because he's fixing to send out information to all of our cell phones. He's going to let us know what the next moves are that we should make. This is, you know, this is a problem, because if you have people that literally believe this, if they could be sucked into this, all it takes is someone sending out a text like this and it gets passed through the grapevine that everyone needs to arm themselves and begin the revolution, because President Trump is about to initiate Operation, I don't know what, Operation End the America Corporation. And you have these people that would be going out in the streets and trying to overthrow the government. And guess what? They're all going to be turned into chopped suey. So it looks to me like somebody is trying their best to get Trump supporters killed. And this goes back to something, you know, This is interesting because this was bullet point number 4 in this document.
4 out of 500, from what I recall.
So it says not only was it a setup yesterday. This was sent out January 7th, talking about January 6th. It says not only was it a setup yesterday via Antifa and the traitors to display the day to smear us, to disrupt the day, to smear us and the president. When our military was brought in, they got a hold of everyone's laptops and devices. It talks about, so it's alleged that the riot was created by Antifa and the traitors. So apparently this was a false flag operation. All the people who stormed the Capitol weren't actually Trump supporters. They were Antifa dressed up as Trump supporters. And it gets even wackier. It says, so everyone's laptops and devices. So you probably heard Nancy Pelosi's laptop was stolen when they went into her office. They stole her laptop.
Yeah. So the theory that special forces took advantage of the chaos to steal her laptop.
Right, right. So it says that, so they got a hold of everyone's laptops and devices while they went through the building as the traitors scurried to the tunnels. So apparently, okay, so the traitors apparently refers to the congressmen and women. They scurried to the tunnels and then ... brilliant exclamation point. Many of their devices show they were online in real time with Chinese operatives. So these people who believe this crap, they believe that the congressmen and women were online in real time with these quote-unquote Chinese operatives. As far as the people that caved in yesterday goes, I don't know. I guess they're talking about Republicans who decided to certify the election results for Biden. As far as the people who caved in yesterday goes, we are watching traitors expose their true characters. This needed to happen. And so, the theory that the people who initiated the riot, that they were Antifa operatives, yes, there has been one particular young black guy from Utah, from Sandy, Utah, who was in the Capitol.
John Sullivan.
Yeah, John Sullivan. He was dressed up as a Trump supporter. But, that's one guy. The thing is that there is no hardcore evidence that there were a few Trump supporters that said they think that some of the people that were standing next to them were Antifa. There's the video of the one guy busting out a window and the Trump supporters are all chanting Antifa, Antifa. And then somebody finally comes, a Trump supporter comes and tackles the guy and stops him from busting the window. But for all we know, maybe the guy was Antifa. I don't know. He could have just been an angry Trump supporter and he happened to get tackled by another Trump supporter. I mean, I'm sure there were a few, disruptors who were dressed up in MAGA hats, but they were vastly outnumbered by actual Trump supporters who ran into the building. So, but
all of this, I think we kind of try to bring this back down to earth for a little bit, because honestly, this is a deep dive into one of the few things about the Trump era that is admittedly problematic. It's not through any fault of his own, but over the last 4 years or five, give or take, with his candidacy, the rise of this QAnon Alex Jones nonsense that everything is a conspiracy.
I have to stop you there. Alex Jones actually
disavows QAnon. I know he hates QAnon, probably because QAnon is stealing his thunder at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many reasons for why this is a thing that people go out of the way to believe this. For me, the primary reason being that the reason they're willing to believe for a second that any of this Tom Clancy nonsense is real is because things have happened over the course of the last 4 years that previously was unfathomable, like the entirety of the Russia collusion nonsense that they went all in for 2-3 years on this BS conspiracy theory that Trump colluded with Russia. They went and treated that like it was fact. Or the fact that they literally stole an election. This is going to be have to cut from YouTube as well. That they stole an entire presidential election in at least 4 states, maybe 5 or 6, at such a large scale as they did. And they call that a conspiracy theory. They say, that's a conspiracy theory, even though we know it's true. So at this point, they're thinking, okay, well, these crazy things actually happened. What other crazy things are there that have happened that simply aren't being reported? And there's been so many theories ever since the election. Like the one, there's this crazy retired Air Force general, Thomas McInerney or something is his name. And he claimed he was spreading this theory that apparently there's a Dominion server in Germany, in Frankfurt, that was responsible for the entirety of the voter fraud by Dominion machines. And SEAL Team 6 went in there on a nighttime raid, like the Bin Laden raid, to go take the server, and 5 of them were killed valiantly stealing the server, and it's in a black site right now, and people believe this, and I'm just like, yep. Don't you think this would be, I don't know, international news if actually happening?
So one of the things, just so people know what they're talking about when they say Obama, and they're claiming Obama and Italy stole the election. So I watched the video. I wouldn't recommend it. Just don't.
If you value keeping your brain cells, you will lose brain cells watching this video.
Yeah, because these are grown men and women talking about this stuff like it's These are people who genuinely, I mean, I think many of them actually do have access to Republicans in Congress, that from the way it sounds, but they do actually believe this stuff. So allegedly, here's the story. The servers, so whenever the votes were changed, allegedly changed in the swing states, they were sent through the cloud to Germany, to this base in Frankfurt, Germany. They were then transferred from Frankfurt to a military base, to the U.S. embassy in Rome. The votes were changed in Rome from Trump to Biden, and then they were sent back up by satellite back to the states within a matter of time. And they claimed that's why you had those spikes in votes in Michigan and Wisconsin after election night, because that's how long it took for the results to go from Michigan to Frankfurt, from Frankfurt to Rome, and it was the U.S. embassy in Rome that orchestrated all this. And the thing is, and here's a few of the claims. I was just going to go briefly through a few of the claims and show why it's just – you know, we shouldn't have to debunk this stuff. This is horse manure.
Don't even need to debunk this. Just saying it out loud debunks it.
Exactly.
Because it's not ridiculous.
But, okay, so, I mean, one of the things that they claim – they say the theft of the election was orchestrated in Rome at an embassy by an employee, Stefano Serafini. So this employee at the embassy in Rome, the American embassy in Rome, allegedly named Stefano Serafini. And in the video, the lady who's given the story, she says apparently his name changes every other second. But supposedly this guy is named Stefano Serafini. He's supposed to be a foreign service officer for over 20 years. She claims he retired the day before the election to ensure he would not lose his pension, unlike what happened in some of the FBI agents who betrayed our country in 2016 and did lose their pension just days before their retirement.
Show me where any FBI agents were arrested or convicted of stealing the 2016 election. They live in an alternate reality. That never happened.
See, I don't know, how did they betray their country in 2016? Trump won in 2016.
Exactly, yeah. It was a terrible attempt at stealing it. He won.
I guess that's the point. They're arguing that these people tried to steal it, the deep state tried to steal it in 2016, and these people didn't retire in time, so they lost their pension. She goes on. Stefan Serafini coordinated with a general, Claudio Graziano, who is on the board of Leonardo S.P.A., an Italian aerospace defense contractor. Leonardo, which is an actual defense contractor, so just so people know, this is an actual company. Leonardo used their military satellite uplink to load the software and transfer it over to change the votes from Trump to Biden. The plan was – oh, here's where it gets good. The plan was orchestrated by Barack Obama with the help of Matteo Renzi, the former prime minister of Italy. The Italian intelligence service supplied intercepts, photos, phone calls, and shockingly, pictures of the CIA agents who have been involved in orchestrating this. So here's what happened. You've got this officer, this foreign service officer – who has an Italian name, who's working in the American embassy. I don't know. Yeah, you tell me. So anyway, he's working in the American embassy. He's been in there for over 20 years. And he coordinates with this Italian general who, by the way, Claudio Graziano is a real person. He's a bigwig in the European Union Defense Forces, like the Coordinated Defense Forces. He is not on the board of Leonardo S.P.A. If you go to the website of Leonardo S.P.A., there is no Claudio Graziano, this particular European general. He's not on their board. But apparently they're claiming he's on their board. And he worked with this embassy official to switch the votes from Trump to Biden. They don't explain what the motive for these two Italians was. Why did these two Italians want to switch votes from Trump to Biden? Were they paid? They don't say. They don't give any reason. But apparently this was orchestrated by Barack Obama and Matteo Renzi to do this. And the lady claims that as soon as Trump took office, Obama's last meeting with a foreign leader was apparently with Matteo Renzi, that this is where he coordinated. He went to Italy. They set all the chips in motion to destroy Donald Trump and ruin his presidency. Allegedly, all this information, we know this information because Italian whistleblowers in the Italian intelligence service supplied the intercepts, photos, phone calls, and the pictures of the CIA agents. There were a bunch of Italian intelligence service officers who were fired on December 5th. They were fired because they had hacked into certain websites in Italy back in 2017. So let's say I hate conservatives and I want to create a conspiracy theory that's going to cause conservatives to chase their tails. I find, oh, hey, look, there were some Italian intelligence officers who were fired on December 5th, 2020. And I can say, oh, look, Obama's last meeting with a foreign dignitary was with Matteo Renzi. So I can create this conspiracy. I can say, okay, well, these officers who were fired on December 5th, they were tied into this. And all they've got to do is feed this intelligence, this so-called intelligence, to people who are looking for evidence to present to Congress that there was fraud. Because a lot of there's a lot of Republican operatives. This lady who actually came up with all this, the lady in the video, her name is Maria Strolozak. She is a Georgia lobbyist. She and other people apparently have been making private flights back and forth to Europe to try to gain intel and gain proof that there was election fraud and that this stuff was stolen in Europe. So if I'm, I don't know, maybe I work in the FBI, I work in the Department of Justice, I work in the CIA, and I just want to mess with Trump supporters, it wouldn't be very hard for me to feed information and say, hey, look, I work for the federal government. This is actually what happened. Or, hey, I'm on a base in Germany. I just want to let you know I discovered this. I just want to let you know, this is what happened. Oh, don't tell anyone because your life could be in danger, you know, if you let anyone know. And then I can get these people to spend all this money on private jets to fly back and forth from America to Europe, wasting all their hard-earned money chasing these wild goose, you know, on these wild goose chases. In the end, all they end up doing is causing boomers' blood pressure to rise. I mean, that's literally all that's coming out of this.
Yeah, I look at this. I mean, I couldn't help but notice a pattern here, actually. Maybe there's something to this, Jacob, you know, because there's the pattern first, Germany, and then there's the embassy in Italy. So logically, the next country that should be brought up in all this obviously has to be Japan, right? The Axis powers are getting back together, guys.
Right. That's the missing link. If they could just find the missing link, if they could just tie it to Japan, it would it would tie all together. But there's more, and of course there's always going to be more. So this is, I don't know if have you ever heard of the site Before It's News? BeforeIt'sNews.com.
Never before in my life have I heard of that site.
Apparently, this is a huge website. Like with the QAnon right, this thing is heavily trafficked. And again, this goes back to the point that I made in our last episode that so many people on the right have been they look at the news media, the mainstream news media, and the mainstream news media, rather than reporting the news, their number one goal is to get Democrats elected to office and push a progressive agenda. And so they see that. They don't watch CNN. So that's why, you know, you look at CNN, it's like, wow, they're being brutal to President Trump. How is President Trump going to survive this? Well, he survives it because people who support Trump, they don't watch this crap. They just tune out. But whenever they don't watch the mainstream media, that they've got a void because they don't know what's going on in the world. This creates a market for alternative news sites and conspiracy theorists to attract a lot of eyes to their websites and make a lot of money from clicks.
They're drawn to whatever is not mainstream. Like, oh, if it's not CNN, I trust this more than I trust CNN, which
right.
I get it, distrusting the mainstream media. Okay, sure. Like, again, 80% of Americans don't trust the mainstream media, but that doesn't mean you go to some crazy blogger living in his basement who's like, I have information that will lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton.
Which, by the way, the article I'm about to read from, it was written by Patrick Henry. So Patrick Henry actually rose from the dead. He's come back and
Oh my God.
Patrick Henry is now a columnist for the news site Before It's News. He's one of their main columnists because this thing has gotten 1,900 shares so far on Facebook, and it was written January 7th.
Pamphlets have come a long way
day. I didn't realize Patrick Henry was able to. I'm glad Patrick's doing okay. He's kind of old, but I'm glad he's still with us.
When are they going to bring back Sam Adams, man? I want to be able to drink a Sam Adams with Sam Adams. That's
absolutely all
I want in my life.
Yeah. So anyway, whenever I was at the rally, David Perdue had just come out that he had lost. You know, the margin was too great. He wasn't going to be able to come back. And, you know, we're waiting on Trump to speak, and someone is looking on the phone and said, oh, no, David Perdue lost, too. And this lady says, no, that's fake news. And he says, oh, it is? It's fake news? Yeah, that's fake news. It's just mainstream media. They want us to think that Georgia's lost. And he said, well, I'm getting it from my source who's in Georgia. He said, no, all the news media is saying the same thing. They're all claiming that David Perdue lost. David Perdue didn't lose. It's just fake news. Every news media outlet in the country is saying, okay, here are the election results. David Perdue has lost. He has conceded the election. And you're saying, no, it's fake news. They're just lying to us. David Perdue, he hasn't lost. He's still running. He's going to win this. At that point, it's not very hard to jump from that state of denial to the point where you're believing some of the stuff that I'm fixing to read. So,
and that's only half the fault of the people who believe the stuff. Again, the other half is definitely on the media, that they go out of their way to lie and distort. And they're doing it right now with the Capitol Hill protest. All they do is lie. They have their political biases in mind, and they have no intention of fixing that. They have no intention of fixing their image. They have no intention of actually starting to tell the truth because their egos are too big for it. And the more that they continue to just push these people off social media, the more they continue to say, oh, you're just the radicals. We're just going to silence you. We're not even going to hear from you. They're only creating this monster. They're making it worse. They're bringing it on themselves.
They are, yes. These people, conspiracy theorists used to, they were just a bunch of fringe kooks that nobody paid any attention to. The fall of the news media in America has caused conspiracy theorist sites to absolutely boom. Like, they don't even – it's so easy. These people are such easy pickings. It's not – they don't even have to work for the clicks anymore. So on this site, Before It's News, this article by Patrick Henry, the reclaimed the United States of America circa 1776 and the American people versus black nobility created / orchestrated Crown Vatican United States Corporation via successors, Crown / Vatican constitutionally banned foreign agents / corporation / attorneys and instruments of the global NWO.
Sorry, I fell asleep during reading that title.
And it's just – it goes on and on and on. And so Patrick Henry claims – the frosting on the cake was last night when the congresspersons ran out of the house. 15 left their laptops on the table. Trump supporters picked them up and gave them to the correct authorities, Trump's people. Among those left behind was Nancy Pelosi's. Trump will start releasing the D-class. You will be shocked in horror just looking at the videos, copies of bank statements, emails in the depths of the evil, every party, every department, every administration for decades. The reason we had to go through all this drama was for people to become aware, angry, and ready to look at the evidence and demand justice. It will take months just to get all the big stories sorted out. You will be glad Trump just moved the two huge prison barges to Gitmo. This adds another 12,000 inmates to the already greatly expanded prison. The arrests will include small-town mayors to former presidents and first ladies, including Michelle Obama. And this brings us to this. There's this pastor in Texas. Why don't you play that clip for us?
Oh, boy. Here we go, guys. Buckle up. Get ready. This guy has the intel.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to let some people hop on here real quick. I don't have as massive a following as a lot of these people do that are out there on social media, but I am going to put this out there because I have got a lot of contacts that the Lord has helped me build over the last few years, and those contacts are people who have given me intelligence and given me information that has to do with our nation and its future so that I could use it for Bible prophecy teaching. So I want to share with you some things right now that I have been given the permission to share. I've known it for a couple of days, but I'm just now getting the permission to share it. So I want you to share this as much as you can, share this video, and let people be able to see what's going on. Okay, so in the years that I've been teaching about Bible prophecy and Bible prophecy being fulfilled, those of you that have been in our meetings know that I have shared details, and those details were government-regulated information that was given to me from different sources. And I can go all the way back to telling you that when Obama was trying to do away with 501c3s, that we had an attorney on the inside that was connected, and I'll just leave it like that, that was sharing with us that he was meeting with them and telling them to cut every church, every 501c3. Back from that time, I've even got people who have had military contractors that have shared things with me through the years. And so I'm going to share a couple of things that have been shared with me. This is so that some of you can watch and listen, but this is the easiest way to get it out. My phone has rung off the hook. I'm telling you, it's just rung, and I've been messaged, and I've gotten messages and text. Where are we at? Brother Wade, can you help us? Pastor Wade, please let us know what's going on. Okay, you need to listen to what I'm about to tell you. You need to listen very good. So, again, share this with your friends. Share this with your family. I'm letting some more people get on here. Share this with those that are immediately around you, because this is going to know what's going on. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read here at the same time. Tootie is asking me, explain the Republic is coming. Let me be real brief on that. Under FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the United States ended up in a treaty with Great Britain that made the United States a corporation instead of a republic. Okay? It has been a shadow government and a shadow thing that's gone on for a long time. President Trump has vowed to make sure that it does not stay in place. And all the people that are coming against him are people that have something to lose in this shadow government. Position, authority, finance, income, pension, all of that kind of stuff. Money talks. And so the president signed on July the 4th of this year, July the 4th, he signed a brand new document. And that document was one that took us back into the republic, out of the corporation. Okay?
Okay.
The person that sent me this video, they never heard of QAnon. They don't know what QAnon is. They don't know what any of this stuff is. This is just stuff. This is stuff that's being circulated among millions of normal, average, everyday Republicans right now. And this has gone into overdrive since January 6th. This stuff has gone viral. The thing with these kind of conspiracy theories is, you notice this pastor, Wade McKinney, Wade McKinney, All Tribes Worship Center somewhere in Texas. He claims that he has a source on the inside of the government who is feeding him information. And this source is only letting him give certain information because it's not safe to deliver the rest of the information. So if I'm – let's say I'm a resistance Democrat in the government, and I find that there's this pastor who likes to make Facebook videos that are very conspiratorial, very end times oriented, I'm going to message him and say, hey, I work for the Department of Justice. I work for the FBI. I want to let you know that we've got some – I can feed you some intel. But I need you to be very, very careful what you when you release this intel, because it can be very important. Lives are at stake. And so I don't doubt that someone is feeding him this information. But the thing about it is, people are actually believe there are people who believe that we're about to enter martial law. In fact, the person that sent me the video, they had been encouraged to stock up on water, to stock up on canned goods, to make sure they had enough cash on hand to survive the next 30 days, because it was going to probably last about 30 days that Trump would declare martial law. And if you notice, the pastor claims there's going to be some cleaning of house. So allegedly, during this martial law period, because according to Patrick Henry here, Michelle Obama is going to be arrested, among other deep state operatives. Also, there was a hoax going around that Trump was going to address the nation. This is Monday. This was going to be Saturday night. That Trump was going to address the nation at 9 p.m. Saturday night. It was going to be carried by Newsmax, America, OAN.
One America News.
And it was going to be covered by RSBN, Right Side Broadcasting. And this went out to millions of Trump supporters. This went viral. Let everyone in your contact list know that Trump is going to be addressing the nation at 9 p.m. So you had people waiting at 9 p.m. and RSBN, OAN, and Newsmax, they didn't cover it. And so they're like, what's going on? Why isn't Trump addressing the nation? And, is he okay? What's going on? And it's just
People seriously thought he wasn't alive anymore. People were saying, the video statement he gave that was like 2.5 minutes, where he says, there will be a peaceful transition on January 20th. People say, oh, this video is actually a deep fake. We need to see proof that he's actually alive. He may not even be alive anymore. And it's just, this stuff just goes on and on.
The same prank, and it's just a prank. Someone is pranking Trump supporters.
His contact in the government is literally, his name is Marshall. That's how he knows martial law is coming.
Yeah, right.
But even then, worse than that, is that these people, when the craziest of these theories go viral and then they get banned for blatantly being false. Like, remember back during early in the coronavirus when that stupid Plandemic movie came out?
Yeah.
That documentary claiming, oh, this is all like, I don't even know what the basis was. It was probably something to do with Bill Gates or something. I don't know. But that was getting banned on YouTube. It was getting banned on Twitter. And that confirmation bias, again, because the censorship is real. They will censor the truth. They will censor the truth about election fraud or about what the president really said. So then when something gets censored and banned, they think, oh, it must be true because it's been censored. So, yes, it's been censored. That doesn't mean it's true. But it just, that too is where, with most conspiracy theories, the debunking becomes part of the conspiracy theory.
Correct,
it just never, ever ends.
And the same prank was pulled today. You had content creators going live at 3 p.m. saying that Trump, I've received information Trump is going to address the nation at 3:15. Well, guess what? 3:15.
He didn't show up.
Yeah, 3:15 comes along and it's just Mike Pompeo addressing Voice of America.
It just doesn't stop. And that's why, and again, that is one thing. I hate to see Trump go. I wish he would stick around and get another 4 years, but if nothing else, I want this Q stuff to end. Literally, he's out of office come January 20th, and then whatever happens, happens. Biden's being sworn in. It's done. It's over. I guarantee you, Q people are still going to be saying, no, no, this is part of the plan. Yeah. He wanted for Biden to come in.
Just so trust the plan.
I just can't. I'm done. I'm so done.
And
I
that's
literally
the thing. So many of the people who rushed the Capitol, if you look at the pictures, you look at the videos, so many of them had Q shirts. They're walking in with Q shirts and Q hats. It's like the average Trump supporters, like even the more militant ones like the Proud Boys, they didn't rush the Capitol. And this stuff is dangerous because if you have people that they don't believe that David Perdue lost the election when all the news outlets are reporting that David Perdue lost
when
the
David
election.
Perdue himself conceded.
Correct. Then you're going to have anything that comes out is going to be fake news to these people. Everything. Like,
and it will be, again, it will be partially deserved because the mainstream media does lie and distort a lot. But it's creating this demon. It's allowing this conspiracy theory nonsense to fester in the darkest corners of the internet because they have been pushed there. If CNN and ABC did not constantly just habitually lie, this wouldn't be happening. I literally, like I said, I can't even listen to this anymore. I feel like I've drank a whole bottle of wine by myself. I have such a headache just listening to this crap. So I think on that note, I'm going to end this episode. That is all the time that we have left for this week. This has certainly been a fun episode, but tune in next week and we'll see you next time, guys.